Okay, y'all, we are back for the second episode of our zombie apocalypse. Okay, so question. How long do you think you would last in the zombie apocalypse?
I would survive the zombie apocalypse. You want to know why?
Why? Tell me.
Because I can run faster than you.
That's all it takes. I mean, we have kids too, so.
Well, I mean, I can run faster than them
too. We can run faster than them. No, I would hope I'd be like Michonne and be like a badass bitch in the zombie apocalypse and just have my katanas walking around.
Swords, they're so much better. I have such a longer reach than my 45.
But you will run out.
Actually, I won't.
That's true. So Troy's going to look like Rambo walking out in the zombie apocalypse. So if y'all need to find somebody that will save you, there you go. So what we're going to do now is we are actually going to go over some of the zombie experiences that I found.
Okay, look, I'm not going to lie. I would hate for the fall of society, but you have no idea how excited I would be to be able to actually see zombies and just go ham and just shoot like crazy. I want to shoot somebody in the head so bad.
And just like that, we're canceled. So are y'all still there? Wow. Okay. I don't want to kill people, but zombies,
well, you know what I mean.
Yes, zombies I would be down for. So the first you just said that.
I don't want to kill anybody either, but
I get what you're saying. I totally get it. Okay, so the first story is called The Florida College Student That Stabs Strangers and Eats Their Faces. So, here it is. Florida was already on the cannibalistic, possibly, of course it's from Florida. Florida is...
Well, remember there was an incident down there not too long ago in Florida about...
This may be it.
It probably is. It was all over the news.
So this put Florida on the zombie-related attack map with the infamous Miami case. But that was apparently not enough for the Sunshine State. In August 2016, a 19-year-old college student, Austin Harif, and I hope I said that right, I'm sorry if I didn't, reportedly stormed away from a restaurant in Jupiter, Florida, where he'd been dining with his parents, apparently upset over the slow service there. He then wandered into a neighborhood where a couple, Michelle, oh my gosh, her name is Michonne. It's M-I-S-C-H-O-N, and it could be Michonne, but
what?
It looks like Michelle Michonne, and John Stevens III, and I don't want to mess it up because they're no longer with us, sat in their garage with the door open, enjoying a quiet evening. Harif pulled a switchblade on the couple and stabbed them to death, apparently without being provoked. A neighbor attempted to intervene and called 911, but was stabbed by the man as well. When police arrived, they found Harif naked, ripping away chunks of the couple's flesh and eating it. He was also growling, grunting, and making animal noises.
Are you sure he wasn't getting his freak on? I'm hilarious.
You're not hilarious.
I'm hilarious.
Repeated uses of the stun guns and a police dog could not sway Harif from his meal. And finally, what happened? They ended up having to put him down. So, there. Uh-oh. Where'd all my stories go? Let's see if I can pull them back. Sorry, y'all. My stories just disappeared. And there was a bunch.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Uh-oh. This is so bad. This has happened before where my stories just disappear on my phone. This is not the first time.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Hold it for a second. All right, y'all. Sorry about that. I found it. We've got another story, the infamous Miami cannibal attack. This may be the one you were talking about. This story was big news back in May of 2012, especially given the eerie footage of the incident that made the rounds on the internet. Miami resident Rudy Eugene stripped naked and attacked a homeless man, Ronald Popo, eating about 80% of the man's face. When police arrived at the scene, they were forced to open fire on the belligerent Eugene. He took far more bullets than his body should have been able to withstand before finally dropping. It was originally theorized that Eugene had ingested, quote, bath salts or even PCP, but toxicology reports revealed only trace amounts of marijuana in his system, leaving the explanation for his zombie-like attack on Popo a mystery. Now, I want to know why they feel the need to strip naked and then do it.
Less constriction?
Maybe so. Okay, so this next one is different. Kevin Santos was pronounced dead at a hospital in his hometown in Brazil. The two-year-old was placed in an airtight body bag for 3 hours while his family made preparations for his funeral. During the wake, family members noticed the boy moving. Santos then sat up and asked his father for a glass of water. The ecstatic family was let down, however, when only seconds later, the boy fell over again and he was rushed to the hospital and declared dead for a second time. But he was put in an airtight bag for 3 hours. So clearly he was dead. Let's see here. Here's another case. This case was observed by researchers in Haiti sometime in 1996 or 1997.
Well, remember all those old stories about putting cages over graves for vampires?
Oh, yeah.
What if it wasn't vampires? What if it was zombies?
I still like the idea of vampires. I love some vampires. I mean, you know, they're not far-fetched from each other. I think vampires can, you know, more communicate with people, whereas zombies just kind of grunt and moan, you know?
You think there's still a former portion of oneself once they become a zombie?
No, not at all. I think the thing in their brain is telling them to eat, 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 and maybe I'm a zombie.
My brains, though.
Well, I mean, even on The Walking Dead, it's not just brains, it's just people. You know, it's flesh.
Brains.
So I think the movies have made the whole brains thing, and The Simpsons, because The Simpsons does that a lot.
Well, remember the old zombie movies that were scary as shit?
Oh my gosh. Yes, my dad made that mistake and let me, when I was little, watch Night of the Living Dead. Yes, and I've been terrified of zombies since. I hate zombies. So, okay, let's get into this one. Fee was around 30 years old when she died after a short febrile illness and was buried by her family the same day in the family tomb next to her house. 3 years later, y'all, she was recognized by a friend wandering near the village. Her mother confirmed her identity by a facial mark, as did her 7-year-old daughter, her siblings, and other villagers, her husband, and the local priest. She appeared mute and unable to feed herself. Her parents accused her husband of zombifying her. He was jealous after she had had an affair. After a local court authorized the opening of her tomb, which was full of stones, her parents were undecided whether to take her home, and she was admitted to the psychiatric hospital. It was later determined that the woman likely suffered from catatonic schizophrenia. However, just how she managed to emerge from her tomb and wander home is not explained to this day. So, here's another one. Clavius Narcisse, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, died on May 2nd, 1962, after admitting himself to the Albert Schweitzer Hospital in, these are some crazy words, Deschapelles, a town in the...
Did you say Deschapelles?
No, it's Deschapelles.
Deschapelles.
A town in...
You're making shit up now.
I just wanted to put some Deschapelles in there. It's a town in Haiti. You're awful. He had been suffering from a plethora of ailments, but no direct cause for his symptoms could be determined. 18 years later, in 1980, his sister Angelina saw Narcisse in a marketplace.
Angelina Jolie?
Yes, it was her. Okay. He recounted the memories of his own death, included being buried alive. He had been placed into a death-like state by a bokor, or sorcerer, and after being dug up, he was whisked away to a plantation to serve as a zombified laborer.
So a slave.
Pretty much. He escaped after 2 years of slavery and wandered the Haitian countryside, only willing to return to his village when his brother, whom he believed to have made the deal with the bokor, had turned Narcisse into a zombie, had finally passed away. A researcher named Wade Davis later investigated Narcisse's case and claimed to have discovered the key to zombification, namely the use of the Datura plant, which, according to Patrick D. Hahn of Biology Online, contains the hallucinogens atropine and scopolamine and induces delirium, confusion, psychosis, and complete amnesia. It can never be conclusively determined, however, whether or not this substance was actually used on Narcisse. Okay.
Aight.
So, I've never heard of this, so I may be pronouncing it wrong. Crocodile. I know. It's a drug that rose to prominence in poor areas of Russia because of its opiate effects combined with the affordable and easy methods which it has produced.
Heroin's hell of a drug.
It's something else. There have been reports of the drug now cropping up in the U.S. If the potency of crocodile, I feel like I'm just saying it wrong.
I think you are.
Was not alarming enough, its side effects are the stuff of horror movies. The drug gets its name from the gangrenous effect it has on the user's skin as it literally eats tissue and flesh from the inside out.
Ooh.
This often leads to open sores and wounds on users' flesh that leaves their bones exposed.
Gross.
It can also lead to incoherence, jerking motions, and shuffling or shambling steps. In other words, crocodile turns you into a zombie, technically alive, but in many ways also dead. Now, remember the zombie ants I was telling you about?
Yep.
Well, here they are. There are zombie ants out there in nature afflicted by a parasitic fungus that biologically manipulates the insects into doing their bidding. Here's Joseph Castro of Life Science to explain the phenomena. Quote, fungi of the genus, Ophiocordyceps, I hope that's how you say it, so-called zombie ant fungi, they need ants to complete their life cycle. When an ant comes across fungal spores while foraging, the fungus infects the insects and quickly spreads throughout its body. Fungal cells in the ant's head release chemicals that hijack the insect's central nervous system. The fungus forces the ant to climb up vegetation and clamp down onto a leaf or twig before killing its hapless drone. It then grows a spore, releasing stalk out of the back of the victim's head to infect more ants on the ground below.
Hmm.
That's terrifying. Okay, here's one. Tell me if you believe this one. On September 10th, 1945, a legend was born in Fruta, Colorado. Farmer Lloyd Olson was slaughtering chickens, taking their heads off with a hatchet. Generally, chickens die from beheading, but one brave poultry looked death in the eye and said, "Not today." He became known as Mike the Headless Chicken, and he made the sideshow circuit for 18 months following his beheading. Although, technically, Mike still had a head, sort of, Olson's hatchet whack only managed to sever the upper half of Mike's brainstem, allowing his body to retain all its motor functions. He could still eat, though he had to be fed using a syringe full of liquid food dropped straight into his esophagus because he had no head. And legend has it, this manner of eating and drinking led to Mike's demise as he suffocated before a syringe of water could be administered.
Oh, no.
Look.
Gross.
I'll post that picture. That's disgusting. So we have a headless chicken. Name, Mike the Headless Chicken. In very specific circumstances, it's possible for a clinically dead individual to be revived and make a full recovery, effectively being reanimated a la Frankenstein or countless other zombie narratives. Such was the case with Anna Bagenholm, who in 1999 lost control while skiing in the Jolan Mountain Range. I don't know how you say that. And plummeted through a thin layer of ice covering a stream. Friends pulled her from the freezing water several minutes later. Medical personnel rushed her to the hospital, but eventually her heart stopped. However, the head of emergency medical treatment at the hospital, Mads Gilbert, believed the frozen temperatures had actually kept her alive. David Cox of The Guardian explains, quote, "While lowering the body temperature will stop the heart, it also reduces the oxygen demand of the body, and in particular, the brain cells. If the vital organs have been sufficiently cooled before the cardiac arrest occurs, then the inevitable cell death from the lack of circulation will be postponed, buying emergency services an extra time window to try and save the person's life." And this was exactly the circumstances in the case. After over 3 hours without a heartbeat or any vital signs, she began to slowly revive. The woman went on to make a full recovery, proving that sometimes death is truly not the end. Having died in 1907, it was a shock to the village of Ennery in Haiti when on October 24th, 1936, Felicia Felix Mentor wandered into town dazed and disheveled. She would alternately refer to herself in first and third person, and at times she would laugh maniacally for no reason. Dr. Louis P. Mars, M.D., insisted Mentor's reappearance was either a case of mistaken identity or severe schizophrenia. But writer Zora Neale Hurston insisted locals had told her Mentor's state was a result of pharmacological zombification. Haiti is all about that. Let's see. I'm trying to look around. I'm kind of going through these just to see because found probably about two more because they kind of get repetitive. Let's see y'all.
Dive on in. See?
Sleeping disease runs rampant in African countries, affecting tens of thousands yearly. It is described by Professor Sanjeev Krishna of St. George's University of London. At first, it will cause headaches, aching muscles, and maybe itching. But in the late stages, when the parasites have invaded the brain, the sign becomes more obvious and ominous. Victims find it hard to concentrate. They become irritable, and their speech is slurred and they stop eating. The daily rhythm becomes disrupted to such an extent that they can't sleep at night and find it almost impossible to stay awake during the day. It even becomes very hard for them to do simple mental tasks such as drawing a straight line. This is an infection that carries the nightmarish qualities, reducing many of its victims to a zombie-like state before they go into a coma and die. Okay, so the last one we're going to do is the zombie spiders, and then we will go on to something else. It may be the most terrifying two words ever put together, but in reality, the zombie spiders are a bit sad, given that they are zombified by nature's jerk, the wasp. The tropical wasp species, oh my goodness, I cannot say this. Can you say this?
What? The hymenopoeies?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a parasite, and it takes advantage of an unlikely host. The web of the orb weaver spider, Plesiomyda argyra, is normally a place where bugs meet their untimely death and become spiders. Seriously? And become spider snacks. Using an arsenal of toxins and mind-altering chemicals, though H. argyra phaga is able to turn the spider into a slave and a meal, and its web into a safe haven. Basically, the female wasp finds a spider to be a kind of unwilling wet nurse. The insect stings the arachnid into submission and lays an egg in the spider's abdomen. The larva hatches and remains inside the spider, using it as a personal buffet. It drinks spider blood while the hypnotized arachnid goes about its business. After a time, the wasp larva needs a cocoon to move on to the next phase of its life cycle. As such, the wasp in training injects the spider with a chemical that compels the spider to build a web fit for a wasp cocoon. After this, the spider sits in total compliance as the wasp sucks all of its remaining life, at which point the little jerk disgorges the corpse, builds its cocoon, and awaits its ascendancy to full-on jerkhood. And those are my stories of the zombie attacks. Now, oh my goodness, this may be a three-parter.
Nah, we can wrap it up.
No, we've got more to go over.
Oh.
So, I guess we'll go ahead and stop and start the other one, because it is showing actually what we're going to go over next is how fast could the zombie apocalypse spread if it were to actually happen.
Oh, I think that would be quick.
It's not as quick as you would think, actually. Mm. And it says that it probably wouldn't last too terribly long. So, if you're worried, guys, don't be. It really wouldn't last that long, I wouldn't think.
Don't believe that.
It may not. I mean, well, there would be hysteria, and I'm sure a lot of people would get eaten. So maybe it will last a while, but we're going to go over it and see how long it would actually take. So hang tight, and we're going into part 3.